The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, the waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the bank of the river.
Amen. Thank you very much, Julie. Ezekiel, interesting passage. If anybody is familiar with, and we'll talk about this in a short time, of Revelation 22, they're very close together in what they say. In fact, farther down in this chapter 47, and we're going to look here for the verses, it said in verse number 10, it says, And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon, from names a river there, even unto another river name, which I can't pronounce, and they shall be there shall be a place, spread forth their nets, and their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, according to many. And so he mentions here, let me just think, look a little bit farther down, because he mentions that the river has the ability to produce these trees of their leaves do not wither. Sounds a lot like Revelation, where it says the leaves were for the healing of the nations. And they bear fruit every month. Again, connecting to Revelation. We'll talk about that in a short while. I'm just amazed at what the Lord is showing to Ezekiel here. Now, we can take this two ways. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit here, because some will say, well, this is not yet for a future time. Fine, I can go for that. That's good. And I'm not going to try to argue that, because if they're convinced on that, there's no sense of really starting any kind of a argument. The title of my message today is called Now or Later. When will this river show up? Well, when Jesus said for the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued or clothed upon with power from on high, he later on goes to say to them that what's going to take place when you are clothed upon, when you are covered with the Holy Spirit, when you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, is that you will begin to preach in Jerusalem. Where else does he say? What's the next area? Jerusalem? Samaria. Julie asked that like a question. Samaria? And the answer is, yes, Samaria. And then, where else? Spreading. Come on now, you guys ought to know this, really. First in Jerusalem, then in Samaria, then in Judea, and to... That's us! Amen! Who got that one? Ta-da! Beautiful. It came all the way down to us. It began in Jerusalem as a trickle. That's what Ezekiel sees. He sees a river. Jesus said, I am the water of life. He met the woman at the well, and he said to her, if you drink of this water, you shall never die. She didn't ask him when that was going to be, and she obviously died physically, so that's beyond the point of even asking the question. But Jesus told her, if you drink of this water, you will live forever. And she was so excited about that, and she said, I've met the Messiah. I've met him. He told me things that I was a secret that nobody else knew about, talking about her lifestyle. And she was impressed with that. So he asked the question, when did she receive eternal life? When you asked Jesus into your life, however you did it, at an altar, through prayer, somebody laying hands on you, in the privacy of your house, driving down the road, in prayer, doesn't matter. When did you receive eternal life? That's a good question. I answer it this way. At the moment. You have eternal life right now. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. One guy said, in fact, the other day at work, one guy said, I'm prepared to go to either the good place or the bad place. I said, well, you don't really want to go there. And he said, well, I haven't lived a very good life. And he said, so when I find out, when I get there, I'll find out. And the sad story is, no. That's not going to happen that way. You won't get there and find out. You already know in your heart where you are with Jesus today. When I received the Lord, I always give dates. They're probably not accurate. Sometime in 1974, I had received the Lord at a lady's driveway. I did the prayer. I did all the stuff you're supposed to do. But I wasn't changed. I had no change except one thing. I started to love the Word of God, which was a complete new thing for me. That's a big change, actually. And of all the weird things, I could understand the King James Version Bible, because they told me to get a King James Version. I said, okay, whatever that is, I'm buying one. And I went down and I said, King James Version Bible. And they flopped it on the table in front of me, and I paid $28 for it. And that was the Bible. Actually, it's this Bible right here. I call this Bible Old Faithful. It's been recovered. It looks new, but it is old. Since 1974. But the day, and I don't even know the date of this, except I kind of say March the 2nd or March the 4th, 1974. A few months after that prayer, that lady's driveway, the pastor of the church, in a group about this big, he said, you're not going to just stumble into heaven. I still remember the words. He said, you're just not going to stumble into heaven. Either you know right now or you don't know. And I said, Tom Lipa, you really don't know. You've done the prayer. You did what you're supposed to do. You're attending Bible studies now here and there and coming to this church always on a Sunday night. Hadn't yet made the commitment to the Sunday morning thing. Even on a Sunday, if I didn't feel like going, I was just out for a drive or whatever. So I wasn't really, you know, like into the whole church scene just yet. Although I knew enough, I said, in this church, all the guys wore suits and ties and the ladies all wore dresses. And so I knew the dress code already. I could see it. You know, it was pretty obvious. Now, you see me with the tie. Long story behind that. It's only because Pastor Rocky said, if you're going to be on staff, you've got to wear a tie. And I said, why don't you wear a tie? He said, that's another story. Don't do as I say, not as I do. I said, okay, no, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. I just did it. I don't know why, but I do it. And then one day I didn't do it, and Kenji was sure to remind me, hey, you're out of uniform today. So I said, okay. Anyway, so that night, I was sitting back where Julie's sitting now, and Anna, and I said, you know, Tom Lipa, you don't know. What's holding you back from going up to the altar? That's where we did all the work, by the way. Everything was going to happen was at the altar. That's just the way it was in that church. So at the altar call, which happened most every service, I made my way up front. Nobody knew it. But I bowed down to the Lord and I said, Jesus, I said, I'm kind of back and forth with this whole thing. I'm pretty sure I believe in you, but I haven't really did what they said I'm supposed to do. That is commit my life to you. And that date, around March something, 1974, on a Sunday night, is when I consider myself to be born again. That's my experience. But I don't have the date locked down. I don't celebrate a birthday every year of my spiritual birthday. But my point is this. I received eternal life right then. Whether it be a few months before that or at that moment, only God knows. But that's when I became a Christian. That's when I became a believer. I didn't have to wait till I get to heaven and find out and say, oh, I hope for the best. So you follow with what I'm saying. So when Ezekiel sees this river coming out of the throne, it's coming from the temple, right? So he sees it there first. It starts to flow. And notice in your Bible reading, it goes underneath a door. He mentions north side, south side, east. The temple's facing east. Makes total sense. But then this thing comes from the south, and it's flowing. So it's kind of weird how that's happening. And it flows underneath the door. And what is it? It's a trickle. It's just a little bit. Then, how many furlongs? In my Bible, it talks about a furlong. And it measures 2,000 furlongs, I think. So a mile is 2,080 feet. So all of this I don't fully understand, but I want you to know something. By these measurements, you cannot take it literally. I will prove it to you in just a moment. But it's a little trickle. He measures 2,000 furlongs. Your Bible may have something else there that Julie read. Maybe I wasn't listening to that point. But so many feet. Does it actually say how many feet he goes, or yards, or cubits? 1,000 cubits. How many feet is 1,000 cubits? We have no ideas. Cubit man. Remember, you got the other guy. It's a channel man. Now we got a cubit. There, yeah, you're doing it right there. You got the measurement. But what if a guy's off a little bit? You know, his arm is not as big, right? The guy walks around like this all day long. Cubit man. Bonk, bonk. Bump, bump. You're done for the day. Goes home. Has to keep his arm separate. You know, it's like that Seinfeld episode with the hands. All right. Julie knows what I'm talking about. But he goes 1,000 cubits. 1,800 feet. Then he goes out another 2,000 furlongs. 1,000 cubits. And he measures, and now he's waist deep. Now, is this saying that this river is only a couple of miles long? Do you see what I'm saying? You have to make a shift here that's important in your reading of the Bible. This is called hermeneutics. It's interpreting the Bible for what it says. And the Bible interprets itself, but you got to take this spiritually. So when he leaves the temple and it's coming underneath the door of the temple, it is a trickle. Then he goes out so many feet or so many or a mile, let's say 10 miles. And he measures it again, and now it's up to his waist. And he goes out another section, another so many feet, and he measures it again. I think at that time is when it says it was now a river. And he goes on to say about this river. Now he gets in the river, and it's going to take him. He can't swim across this thing. The current is going to take him where it's going to go. Now I'm going to tell you about your life right now in Jesus. You're going to end up in places in the Lord you never dreamed you were going to end up. You're going to be taken places you never thought possible in your life. I've got a whole list of them. I could share those testimonies, but they're private to me. I've shared some of them. But there are places I went in my life that I never dreamed I was going to go. I never thought for a moment I would go overseas 2 different times. I never thought for a moment I would even go to college. And the day that Julie said, when Anna was a little girl, I don't know how old she was, 2 or 3, yeah, about 2, and Julie and I sitting in the living room together in Ventura, California, I said, I want to go to college. And she said, why don't you? Money? That shouldn't hold you back. Kids? No. What's holding you back? She's so good about this. I mean, it's like, get down to the brass tacks, right? What's holding you back? And my excuses were gone. And she said, why don't you go to school? And so I signed up for correspondence. You know, you remember those days, anybody? Some of us older folks? Correspondence. You sign up and they send you a book in the mail. They send you your whole course in the mail. You take it, you do all your coursework. They just up to you whether you want to cheat or not on the test, because they send that to you also. You're supposed to do it in front of a peer or somebody. But if they're not available, you know, you're taking a test. And so it's like all this stuff you do over the postal service. So I did that. But I said, you know, when I got in my first year of college, and I'm sitting in a class, and I told this story so many times, but it's absolutely true, that I sat on the front row, and these desks, for some reason, I was on the front row. I was alone on the front, and this desk around me, and I'm looking, the guy's here, and I'm sitting about right there, and I'm looking up at him, and I just have my hands folded like this. And he's reading everything. It's so boring. I said, I'm in New Testament theology. I want to learn about the New Testament. And he would go on, he would turn the page. And I thought to myself, I said, is this the way every class is going to be? Well, it came time for my first test. I said, I got this lit. I know the New Testament. I know it through and through. I believe I'm good at this stuff. And the day came and I sat down and I looked at the test. I said, I know nothing that's on here. Nothing. There's no questions about the New Testament. How many books in the New Testament? I got that one. You know, what's the first book? Got that one. You know, name the books of the Bible. Got that one. I got them all. And nothing was there. I got a D minus or a D. Maybe a D plus. But whatever it was, I was like in tears. So I called him up on the phone. And I said, why did I not get this? And he said to me these words. It was so funny. He said, I noticed that while I'm speaking, you're not taking notes. And I'm telling you the truth. I hadn't been in college. I know nothing of this. I never did it in high school. And he said, you need to take the notes of what I'm saying. That's what's going to be on the test. And I said, oh, that's what all that paper shuffling is behind me. I mean, I didn't see anybody. I'm hearing this noise behind me. I said, oh, okay, well, whatever. You know, and I'm so dumb. I just said, okay, notes. So the next time he was talking, I'm taking notes, and I'm doing like everything he's saying. Now I get it, okay? This is the idea of college. I got the idea now. Just write down what he's saying. He's so slow and boring. I'm just writing it down. And we make a comment, forget it. You're not even going to listen to you. And you know, just me for one and a half hours every Tuesday and Thursday. And then he would just flip those pages. I'm taking the notes. And the next time I took a test, lo and behold, I got a B. Because I realized whatever he said out of his mouth was going to be on the test. All I had to do was just get it out of this into the paper, write it down. I'm good to go. And so it was a learning experience. But college, what I'm saying to you, I never dreamed about college until after I became a Christian. So here's my point. God is going to take you places where you never dreamed you were going to go. Aki and Mandy, I don't know if Tucson was ever in your radar. I don't even know if you felt you were ever going to leave Minnesota. You know, whatever. And here you are, you know. And God is blessing where you are. He's planted you here for this season. And so Ezekiel is seeing a river that takes him where he's not fighting the current. He's not going against it. He's letting the river now, this river of life, take him where it's going to take him. And it takes him to places that he never dreamed possible. Spiritually speaking, I'm talking in the spirit, because we know that this river was not just 5 miles long. This river now is worldwide. It covers every nation in the world. It's as far going into the deepest part of darkest where we are on this earth, all the way to North Korea. It's getting into Iran. And you read about these reports that come back from there all the time. It's getting into Iraq. It's getting into in the days of Russia, when it was called the Iron Curtain, which growing up, I just couldn't even imagine an iron curtain. Then they called China the bamboo curtain. It didn't mean, you know, like, well, what's that about? And I learned later on, Russia's closed off to the gospel. Anybody that wanted to preach the gospel was arrested, tortured, and sometimes put to death. And the preachers were nowhere to be found. But the word of God was thriving in these places. Today, you read about China and the places that it's thriving. It's the underground church. And by the way, they put starting to put the screws on that again from what I'm reading. I don't know. But they're in churches that are not in the open, because the churches in the open are run by the government, but these are underground. And so this river, it flowed from Jerusalem. Was it Judea? Maybe it's Judea, then Samaria. Might have that wrong. But anyway, it went boom, 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 and then to the uttermost part of the world. And it flowed all the way down one day, and a little trickle of that river, a tributary of another tributary, was in a lady's life in Vista, California, and she said, "Do you want to receive Jesus as your Savior?" And that was about the fourth time she asked me, by the way. I fought it so much before that, but I said, "Okay, if it means I'm going to be able to quit smoking cigarettes, okay, let's do it." She never mentioned cigarettes, because that's what I wanted rid in my life. She mentioned Jesus. And I was shaking like a leaf. I was just like, I don't know why, just shaking. And she said, "That's okay, that's the Holy Spirit." I said, "He's kind of rough on me right here, isn't he? I'm looking embarrassed before you." The point is this, that was the trickle of the trickle of the trickle all the way down through all those centuries that finally made it down to me and finally made it to you and to you and you and you and you. The whole church here, it's where it's come. It's flowed down to you. It's wonderful. It's powerful. It's life-changing. When the water reaches you, it just makes you different. The Bible says here that this water could flow into the Dead Sea. Now, somebody tell me what the Dead Sea is like. Somebody knows here. You don't have to be shy. Just tell us what the Dead Sea has in it.
Salt.
Salt. How much salt? There's a word for that too. I'm kind of leading you on. A lot of salt. Well, a whole bunch. I like that. So much salt that if you're in the Dead Sea, you float. You don't sink. That's what I read. I'm not going to go try it out, because I am not going to go in the Dead Sea. And anyway, that's what happens. You float because there's so much salt in it. What's another thing about the Dead Sea? The word dead should give you some idea. No outlet. That's a good one. The Jordan River flows into it. There is...
No fish.
No fish. Nothing lives in there. Someone said, oh, it's alive with minerals. Okay, but it's not alive with fish. But this water could flow into the Dead Sea and make it come alive again. And the Bible says it will be teeming with life. And that's the point of my sermon today. That we would understand there's something out there that we have that the world doesn't have. They could have it if they wanted it. Whatever we have is teeming with life. We've got the river in us. We've got this trickle. What do you want to call it? I don't know. The river of life, the water of life, it's inside of you. It's Jesus. When you go out, and this is why it's so important that we don't get boxed in inside of a church somewhere that we're doing nothing but just basically preaching at ourselves, entertaining ourselves, enjoying each other's fellowship, all good things. But until this river starts to flow out of this place in different points, then nobody's going to get touched. Nobody's going to get changed. One day, somehow or another, and I'm talking about Kenji, but the river got into his life, and he went from going to the, may I say it, casinos? Yeah? You were into that on Sundays, apparently.
All the time.
And where are you now on Sundays?
Probably sleeping.
You're here. Well, I was sleeping too then. You know, a lot of people go to sleep in church. It's a good place to get a nap sometimes. Hopeful you guys are awake right now, but he got into him. Now on Sundays he's here. Why is that? What happened to him? Did we convince him? Did Pastor Rocky and Mandy be so powerful in their way of witnessing to him, saying, you've got to come to my church every Sunday? No, something else happened to him. Something else drew him, right? What's that?
God.
And what's working in Sandy's life? First time I met her, I didn't even know who she was. She was sitting next to Sandy. I barely knew Sandy. They show up at a Bible study, and we start talking, and I get to learn about her life. And since then, she's gotten water baptized in this church. Yeah. Amen. What caused that? Can anybody tell me? Did she learn that out of a book? Did somebody sit down with her and give her the whole salvation plan? No, but over time, just as we began to share with her and learn about Jesus, more about Jesus, she's heard about Him all of her life, I'm sure, but something else has taken place, and it's deeper, and it's greater, it's more meaningful, it's more powerful. It's life-changing is what it is. It's a 180. I heard one preacher say, God will have you to make a 360. I said, isn't a 360 same place I'm at now? He was so sure about this. He said, God will move in your life and you'll make a 360 degree turn. I said, well, okay. Here I am, waiting for the 180. So weird, isn't it? How we say things. We're so sure about it. Let me just share with you here. Number one, words that change life. When? Here and now. Words that change life. A river that drastically improves one's lifestyle. Whether you like it or not, God will tell you someday you're not supposed to do that. And if Paul was here, he might be forceful about it. He might even write us a letter, like Pastor Rocky is preaching out of Corinthians, you know, and Paul said, listen, you guys, straighten up over there. And you read it, so that's not very nice. That's not Christian-like, you know. We're supposed to forgive everybody. You're telling us to kick this guy out of church? Huh, I don't think so. But yet, Paul was concerned about their spiritual well-being. Thank God for Paul. And even thank God for Pastor Rocky, who's not afraid to preach that kind of stuff. Let us hear it, digest it, take it in, and absorb it, and do something with it. Because every time you hear God's word, it never returns to Him void. It's going to do something on the inside. There's a rumbling and a shaking taking place because these are words of life. And they come in and they do something on the inside of you and change your lifestyle. This river has a tree that bears fruit once every month. Both stories in Ezekiel and Revelation talk about that. Leaves for healing. The Dead Sea coming alive. A river teeming with life. And I say, okay, we got it. What do we do with it? What's the plan? What's the big plan, Lord? What do you want me, Tom Lipa, to do with it? One thing I believe in, and I've done it periodically out throughout many, many years now, is I do a lot of prayer walking. The problem was, last time I did it here, I chose the most perfect month of the year to do a prayer walk. I think it was June 2017 or 18. Smart, yes. I went out there one day and I was doing my walk and I started feeling a little bit weird. I said, huh, what's going on? Start to realize, wait a minute, it's already like 105 degrees And my water turned warm because I had it in a bottle. It is a long story. So I think it's another time of the year would be better and smarter. I want to read to you a couple of things here. I just copied this down for your hearing today. I went to Revelation. And I just want to read Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 7. I want you to hear this. So similar to this story. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's interesting, he put the word Lamb in there. This is John, Revelation 22. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Says that in Ezekiel. I can't remember the exact verse, but it's in there. No longer will there be any curse. Now, to now, right now or future. Okay, take whatever pick you want. But you've been set free from the curse of the law. You have been born again. You have been revived, rejuvenated, and just completely come alive in Jesus. The curse of the law does not abide on top of you anymore. And one day you're going to have all the freedom that you want from that curse. Okay. But right now, upon us, God, Jesus is, he broke us from the curse of the law. He became a curse for us. It was cursed every man that is on a tree or dead on a tree. Okay, that's the curse. He broke us from that curse. It says in Galatians, we were reading through that just recently. So the curse is gone. So you pick your time. I'm okay with either or. I'm okay with now and then. Okay, I'm okay with that. But right now, I say there is no curse on me. There is no curse. It's not over me. It's not in me. It's not inside of me. It's nowhere around me. You say, well, you still live in your physical body. That's true. All right? But my physical body is not cursed. I tell you that right now. I live under the freedom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some may argue that, but that's where I live. It says that there will no longer be a curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Well, isn't that what Paul said? We're supposed to serve the Lord, right? The word servant, slave, doulos, you all recall that just a few weeks ago. Changed by the power of God, becoming a servant of the Lord. We're serving him now. That's where they are. And then it gets us here. This one will get you. And I agree with you 100%. There will be no more night there. They will not need the light of a lamp or the sun, for the Lord God will give them light and they will reign forever and ever. Understood. Tough verses to fully understand when we're only acquainted with this world. But when you speak about the kingdom of God, we're in the kingdom of God. You tell me right now that there is no sickness in God's kingdom. Okay, I got sickness in my body. Okay, I'm talking about God's kingdom. You got to bear with me a little bit. Understand where I'm coming from. I'm talking about the here and now. I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm serving Jesus. I'm with him. I understand that he's my light. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the light right now. And in this kingdom, there is no sickness. There's no curse. There's no death. There's nothing like that. You say, but I have it all around me. Yes, you do. And I don't have a way to explain that to you any better than that. But once that got into my head, I kept on thinking of another kingdom, another day, another time, a future moment, and getting prepared for that month, that moment, that time, that era. Yes, fine. But I wasn't doing anything. I remember the guy, and I'm coming to a close. And I'm landing this airplane in a few minutes, I guarantee you. But the guy told me at a job one day that 1988 was the year of the coming of the Lord. And this is kind of the time that I started making my, oh boy, what's going on with us as Christians? And he said to me, I'm going to charge up all my credit cards. Because the Lord is coming this year. And then he said these words, let the devil pay them off. And that didn't strike me very good. The coming of the Lord was interesting. Yeah, the planets were lining up, he said. They're right in line. I don't know. Is that like a stepping stone for Jesus? Dun, 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 dun. 9 steps, he's here. I don't know. What he was thinking of, you know, the planets were lining up. Yeah, the planets. Except there's a problem. I saw later that one was out of line. I don't know what caused that one. It should be a straight line. Well, anyway, he's coming. Boom, 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 boom. Here comes the Lord. I'm going to be set free from this world. I won't have to worry about money anymore. I won't have to worry about debt. I won't have to worry about my kids growing up. They're still young and enjoying their time in school. Everything is good. But we're in debt now because we got college loans. Because, you know, college, you sign a piece of paper. Here's $10,000. Oh, wow. $10,000. Sign here. That's what they do. So that's why our kids today are so far in debt at the U of A, because it's so easy to get money. All right, aside from that. So, What was I talking about?
The stars and planets.
Stars and planets lining up. The Lord's coming. Going to set me free from this world. 1988 came and gone, right? Which just came and went, gone. 1989, gone. Oh, the Y2K. Oh, how many are aware? You're all old enough to know Y2K. That was something else, wasn't it? All the computers in the entire world are going to go down because they can't comprehend the year 2000. You know, like, my brother bought a bunch of boxes of dried food. Now, here's the thing. If you're the only guy in your block with dried food and there's everybody else is starving, I think they're going to be aiming for your house with the dried food. You know, he's like eating, happy. Everybody else is, dry food. A few years later, I saw those boxes in the garage still. I looked at the expiration date. And I said, Larry, these are all expired. Oh, they're still good. I said, but there's not one open. You haven't eaten anything out of the dry food boxes. But we may one day, because even now he's into something else. You know, he goes on and on with all kind of stuff. And he says, yeah, one of these days, you know, we're all going to be poisoned, you know, because we're all dying and these jet streams in the sky and all this. And he said, and I think, Larry, here's my theory. Those jet streams, it's for our good. They go up there and they pump that stuff out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe not. But what jet trails or whatever, something like this, comtrails. And so they pump out these chemicals and they're supposed to be for our bad and hurt us. I said, no, I that's for our good. That's our health. That's why we're living so long. And my brother got mad at me because it was supposed to be the end of the world stuff, right? Those jet trails. All right, so that goes by. Y2K. Oh, then the other prediction that the world was getting into was it the Aztec calendar?
Yes.
Or the Mayan calendar?
The Mayan calendar.
Yeah. Julie's dad was into that one. He said, that's it. We're done. A guy at work the other day said to me, an older guy says, he said, we're finished on this earth, according to the scientist. I said, okay. Now, he's not a believer, so he's into this thing too. He says Yosemite, or Yellowstone, is already rumbling. And then there's another one up in Alaska. It's rumbling, these volcanoes. And they're too are going to... And it's going to spread, and then the sky is going to become all dark around the world, and we're all going to die. I said, well, thank you for the good news. I said, I'm enjoying my job today, but, you know, that's kind of bad. He said, no, I just want you to know. I did tell him. I said, well, thanks for the good news. And he said, no, I just want you to know. I said, well, what for? He said, well, so you know about it. I thought, okay, I know about it. When it happens, I can't stop it. You know, I can't, that's enough. So you get where I'm coming from. Here's my point. The here and now. What are we doing in the here and now? I have yet, I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish my life doing what a deeper call of God in my life that I believe He's called me to do. It's not leaving here. It's not going to Africa. It's not going to some other place. But God has called me to do something, and He's put me on that course. And that's what I feel so burdened about inside that I would say, and it's really what it is, the disciples who make disciples. I'll just tell you that flat out. So Ezekiel and John the Revelator, they see this river coming out of God's throne, and it's flowing out, and it's getting bigger, and it's bringing health and life and vitality and goodness and peace and mercy, all the great things the Lord was talking about. And if you get so wrapped up in the events of this world, let me share one more quick story. It's very interesting. At least I think it is, because I'm telling it, right? It has to be interesting. Julie and I go to England, 2012. We get to England, and we only have a six-month visa. You talk about visas and all that kind of stuff, and countries letting people in or whatever. After 6 months, man, you're gone. You're out of there. You can't stay here. Your visitor's visa is up 6 months. You got to go. So Bob Moore, the guy that's the head of the ministry to the military, asked my wife and I, what do you want to do? You want to go back to the States? You guys want to... you know, just go back, you know, get a place to rent or whatever until you get your visa. We said, no. We want to be busy with God's work, God's kingdom. That's why we did this move. We sold everything to get here. And so he says, okay, I want you to go to Germany. I said, okay, I like Germany. So we go to Germany, and I think she and I slept on the floor for about 3 or 4 weeks. But it was nice. It was interesting. It was like camping out in a way, just a hard floor. But we're working on our visa, right? 3 months. Now, my boss told me, Bob Moore, said, oh, don't worry about it. You know, if you're one day beyond 3 months, it'd be okay. So we're in line. We're at 3 months and 1 day. We're at the line in the airport to fly back to the United States because our three-month visa now is up. And the guy with these green uniforms on, they're counting with their fingers. I said, Julie, that's not good. She says, I know. They're counting the days that we were in Germany. You've been here for 31 days. Or 91 days. And I said, okay. Okay, come with me. So we got out of line, and we go in this room with all these police officers. My heart is pounding like crazy. Then, here's what they say. Because we're not supposed to be in Germany that day. We were illegal. We were now going to be arrested. That's the truth. They don't mess around. So if you go to Germany, spend 3 months, that's it. Fly home. So, the guy's there. Then he says, how much money do you have in your pocket? And he is a German officer with the power to throw she and I in jail. And I said, I have 500 euro. He says, the fine for this is 500 euro. And I said, what if I would have said 200 euro? And then I asked him, because we paid the 500, it was 500, wasn't it? Somewhere around there. I mean, can you imagine 500? It's like $600, whatever it was in my pocket. Now I'm handing all this money to those guys for one day. And then he says to me, I asked him, I said, what if we didn't have cash to give you? I would have sent you to an ATM machine. Because we only take cash. Right? I said, this is a weird world. I mean, the country. Only cash. So I gave him the 500. He let us out. I guess we got on our plane. We flew out that day. What I learned was, I never expected in my lifetime on the stream of water to be sitting in a German, whatever it's called, in an airport, trying to prove my innocence of being that I made a mistake. I was in Germany for more than what I was supposed to be. And they were serious about it. They didn't say, oh, we'll let this one go. And I felt so relieved when I got out of there. And I told my boss, I said, you misled me. How's that? I said, we got stopped in the airport, and the German police, Polizei, were very gracious to us, but they asked us how much money was in my pocket. When I said 500 euro, we'll take it. And I said, he said, no kidding. I said, yeah. He said, oh, I'll be. I said, I want my money back. No money back. Here is the point. I never thought, how about you? Had you ever thought you would be here in this church on this date, in this year, this beautiful Tucson? This is the most beautiful time of the year to live in Tucson. So, amen. I am all done. I have no conclusion. There's no prayer thing going on. I just wanted to share that with you. We are in the river of life. It's teeming with fish and all kinds of great things, more than you can handle. But here's the point. You're flowing with it. It will take you. You young people know this. I'm telling you now. We got several young people. It will take you where you've never thought it would take you. It will lead you that way. You'll be good about it. All right. It's not going to be a bad thing. So those two stories, my title of my sermon was for the here and now or when. You know, here, now or when. Now or later. It's for the here and now. And later, praise God. Paul says, we don't even know about those things other than what the Spirit's revealed to us. We don't even understand them except for what the Holy Spirit has said. My dad today is in heaven. He's not an old guy anymore with a bad heart. He's a young man. He's in heaven. He's enjoying the fruit of heaven. If I died, that's where I'm going. Boom. Just like that. All right. God bless you. Stand with me, please. I actually finished on time.